Tonight, the title of the message is God Uses People Who Are Uniquely Different. God uses people who are uniquely different. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you, God, for this opportunity, not only to be in this church, Lord, but to preach and proclaim your word this evening. I pray that it'd be a blessing and a help to many, no matter what the age group, young or old. God, I pray that we'd take this message, apply it. I pray that the scriptures would speak to us this evening. I pray that, God, we'd be motivated to do more and more for you. Lord, that we would trust you fully. And thank you, Jesus, for what you've done here in Jupiter. What a great example for many of us, Lord, to follow and make goals, Lord, spiritual goals. Thank you, Jesus, for this good church, for them having me this evening. Bless them, bless their pastor. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God uses people who are uniquely different. Now, if I was to say, a show of hands if you think you are uniquely different. Amen. All right. So not too many, right? And that's what I'm getting at. Sometimes we think, well, we're nothing special about me. And the truth is, we're just sinners saved by grace. But God has absolutely worked in our lives. And I pray tonight that the message is a blessing. And life can be difficult. It can be very difficult at times. And I've gone through things. I'm sure many people in this auditorium have gone through things. But when you trust in the Lord, and when you trust in the Lord fully, it just seems like it can be manageable. That life can be manageable. That you can carry on even though something horrible has happened. Even though you're going through some trials in your life. And David here, he comes to this mount here, and there's two sets of armies, the Philistine army and a very familiar text here, and the Philistine army and the Israelite army is one at another, and one is over there, and they're both just staring at each other, and no one's doing anything. And there's the giant Goliath, and he's causing havoc, and he's saying bad things about God and cursing the armies of the living God. And he's carrying on with himself, and everyone's just staring at him. No one's saying, we need to move forward. No one's making a decision. Everyone is just on that side or this side. They're just staying put. And sometimes we get into that rut where we just kind of stay put. We're in the army. We lined up for battle. In fact, we even have our best dress on. But we're not moving forward. We're doing nothing. And God sometimes will allow you and I to go through certain experiences in life only to give us the experience we need for the future. And things happen. There's a saying. I'm not particularly fond of this saying. In fact, I've experienced this firsthand, and my preacher would say it all the time. And when he would say something like this, I thought to myself at the time, wow, I'm glad I'm not called to the ministry. Every time he said that, Pastor Keith Gomez, I would think to myself, I am so happy that God has not called me to the ministry. And the saying goes like this, what God uses, God bruises. What God uses, God bruises. And Christian, I'm not sure what you've gone through in your life. I'm not sure what storms and problems you've had. But the truth is, God is sufficient to carry you through. And number one, this evening, no one will be uniquely different without deciding to be. You have to decide. It's a decision that you make. It's not something, rather, where you just, hey, God made me special, so I'm going to be special. I want you to focus on verse 32 here with me, if you will. The Bible says, and David said to Saul, and this is after he gets there, and he's talking to Eliab, right, and his other brother Abinadab's there, and Shammah, right? I mean, how glad are you that your name is Rick and Jim and different things like that, right? Not Shammah. Can you imagine that? Pastor Blaylock coming up here and saying, hey, we have Shammah with us tonight. And Shammah, what kind of name is that, right? So Abinadab, Shammah, and Eliab, he's there. They're the older brothers, the three older brothers of David. And there were some more brothers, but those are the three that are represented in this story. And he gets there, and no one's doing anything. They're just standing around, army against army, saying what you will. doing dressed and ready for the battle, but doing absolutely nothing. And David says these words, "Thy servant will go and fight." It was a decision. At that moment, David looked around and said, "Oh my goodness, why is no one doing anything? You know what? I'll go. Hey, King Saul, thy servant will go and fight. No one else is moving a muscle. No one else is stepping forward. Hey, I'll just be the person that does that." And folks, listen, sometimes what happens, and I have a few people in our church that do the same, and we've worked hard all of our life, and I'm older, and you know what? Let the kids do it, and let the kids work, and let them carry on with the work of God. And God wants you to work. God wants you to move forward. God doesn't want just the young people to do His will. God wants the older people to do His will. God wants the middle-aged people to do His will. And David's here, and David is ready for the battle. He's not even supposed to be there. Eliab, his older brother, says, "You're naughty. I know why you're here. We all know your heart. Where's those sheep that Dad put you in charge of? Why are you even here?" And he says, "Listen, I'm just here to bring you this bread that Dad told me to bring down. But my question is, why isn't anyone doing anything about this guy? Why aren't you moving forward? Where's the captains telling the army of God to move forward? Why is everyone at a standstill? What is happening here?" This was strange to David. You have to understand, David was not a soldier. David was a shepherd. He was a pastor out in taking care of sheep, and he shows up and he's seeing all these soldiers ready, trained, and dressed ready for the battle, doing absolutely nothing. Doing absolutely nothing. He never said, "Hey, if you guys go with me, I'll go. If you guys go first, if you head down to the battle, I'll go with you." David never said that. He just said, "Thy servant, me, I will go and fight." Christian, I want to encourage you this evening. Whether someone goes with you or not, we're supposed to move forward for Christ. If no one's going with you and no one wants to go out into the community, no one wants to go soul winning, no one wants to read their Bible, no one wants to pray, no one wants to come to those prayer meetings, no one wants to clean, no one wants to pick up, no one wants to do any of that. Christian, God has called you to do that. God has motivated you to do that. God is calling you to the battle. Now, just Him, uniquely prepared. Can you imagine that? These soldiers, big, burly guys, ready for the battle. I mean, they got their spears. They have their swords. They have everything ready, and here they are, and not doing anything. David shows up with bread. David shows up with a couple baskets. And he says, "Hey, what's going on, fellas? What are you doing here, David?" "Well, I'm just bringing this stuff for you for Dad, but I'm kind of wondering what you guys are doing. I'm kind of wondering why you guys are still here. I thought I was going to be able to see the battle." You got to understand and put this story into perspective. David in chapter 16 was just anointed by Samuel. And his three brothers and the rest of the brothers walk by and, "Nope, nope, nope. What about him? Surely it's him. Look how big he is. Look at his shoulders. Look at his beautiful hair. This has to be the one." Nope. Don't look upon the countenance. Don't look upon his stature. The Bible says, "I know his heart." So here's David. He arrives at the battle and he's ready to go. And he's uniquely prepared, preacher. The whole army was there. But there was just one person that has done battle with the bear and the lion. All ready to go. But there's just one person that can look at that giant and go, "Well, he's pretty big. But I've been there, done that." Everyone else was standing there thinking, "Well, I'm not going. You going? I'm not going. You go, maybe I won't go. You go here, take him with you." And nobody wants to move. On both sides, they're waiting for Goliath to do it. On this side, they're waiting for, you've heard the story. You've heard this probably preached many times before. Saul, shoulders and head above all the people, thinking that's probably the person that should go. He's the king. He should protect us. He wasn't moving. And he had a bad attitude the whole time. David was uniquely prepared, and that's why he decided, "Hey, listen, you know what? This can't be that bad, because when God sent that lion, He helped me. When God sent that bear, He helped me. This Philistine, I got this. I can handle this. There's nothing that I can't handle if God is with me. And Christian, I want to say many people are watching your example. Many people are watching your example. I remember back in the day, we came by and when we first moved down here, and we're just driving everywhere, enjoying it. And we went down to the beach in Jupiter. We thought it was beautiful downtown. We came by here and I drove around your parking lot. And the church was closed. And I even believe I went to a door and just kind of looked around, checked on it. It was closed and I didn't get access to it, right? And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, this is just absolutely beautiful. And I've always said this, preacher, and it's not just because I'm standing here in your pulpit, but I've always said this, when we are able to build, I basically want to bring the GC and the architect down here, and I want to park them out front and go, see this? That's what we want. Smaller scale, obviously. We're not going to be able to do all the breezeways and all the different buildings you have here, but you see that? Okay, shrink it, and that's what we want. And folks, listen, people are watching your example, and this great church is a beacon of light where others in this area are looking and saying, hey, if they can do it, we can do it. And David that day, he did something special where others looked and said, hey, wait a minute, if this little ruddy kid can do this, if he can get a hold of God so much that God will bless him like this, hey, listen, I can do this. And the armies of God were fortified that day. The armies of God were strengthened that day because one person who wasn't even in the army as a soldier yet, one person stepped forward. And you say, well, that used to be me. That can still be you. In fact, there's a lot of young people in this audience tonight, and that's wonderful to see in a church this size. And those people right now, God's calling you to do something for Him. God's calling a middle-aged person to do something for him. Number two, go anyway, even when no one believes in you. Go anyway, even when no one believes in you. Look at verse 33 with me, if you will. And Saul said to David, thou art not able. Isn't that something? Here's Saul. Preacher, here is Saul. He's standing in his thing, in his little tent, if you will. And no one is moving forward. He's not moving forward. The army's not moving forward. The captains aren't moving forward. The generals aren't moving forward. No one is moving forward. Is it okay if I walk around, preacher? Okay. Just, I feel more comfortable that way. You guys are making me nervous. And so no one's moving forward. And here, this guy shows up and says, King Saul, thy servant will go and fight. Yeah, not right now. Stop bothering me. I need to find somebody who's going to fight. Well, that's me. Yeah, please, ruddy little boy, go over here, please, if you will. I'm trying to concentrate here. Sir, maybe you're not understanding me, King. I'm saying I will go. So here he is, ready to fight the battle, and no one is believing in him. Does that sound familiar at all in your life? You wanted to do something great for God, and no one believed in you? They can clearly see David wasn't like him. He wasn't a hardened soldier, warrior from the battle, but God knew that he was different because God knew what he was put through. And even though people don't believe in you because you're different, believe in God because he has prepared you. You know, Pastor Gomez, God bless him, he brought me into the office. I was a senior in Bible college. Again, I didn't go as a young man, so I was a grown man with four kids and a wife by now. And I was in the church, and I was happy just to be a truck driver. I was moving heavy machinery, making a ton of money doing it, and I was excited. But I knew God called me into ministry, so I'm in Bible college, and there I am. And he calls me in, and he says, hey, we have a position open. I'd like to keep you here at the church. And I thought, wow, that's great. I don't know, man. Assistant pastor? Assistant to the pastor? I mean, I'd be the assistant to the janitor at that point. I was just excited to be in the ministry. And then he leans across the table and he says, hey, we need a Spanish pastor. You're Spanish, right? He'd always call me Palmer. Palmer, right? And Brother Rick. I mean, I was never Brother Ricardo. I never even used Ricardo. And that is my real name. But, you know, he didn't even know. He was kind of like, I think this guy's Spanish. I think he is. We need a Spanish pastor. You think you can fill that position? Absolutely. I barely spoke Spanish. Preacher, I did not even have a Bible in Spanish. No Bible. And Pastor Keith Gomez, I mean, talk about Jacob, right, being a deceiver. Sure, I can take that for you, sir. Went home. Marisol, we got to go to the store. What? I got to go buy a Bible in Spanish. Folks, listen. Everyone told me, you can't do it. You know what I used to do for about a full year? My poor mom. And, you know, I thank God for this. My father, he's still not saved, but my mom has received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And every single day, every Sunday, the scripture, the portion of scripture that I was going to read, I would call my mom in the morning and say, Mom, can you help me with these scriptures? And I would read it, and she would stop me, not like that, okay? Say it like this, okay? And I'd read it again, and I'd read it again. And after an hour, every Sunday from 7 to 8 in the morning, no matter how big the scriptures, small the portion of scripture, I would call her, and I would ask her to help me with that. And I can hear my dad in the background. Not like that, like this. You're saying it like a gringo. You need to say it with an acento, with an accent, like in Spanish. And I'd say, well, I'm trying. That's why I'm calling you guys. So then I'd get to church, and I'd read the Bible, and they don't know what I just went through that morning, but I knew what I just went through that morning, and it was scary. And I didn't know what I was going to do. But I knew this. God had uniquely prepared me for that moment. And it was hard, and I went through some things and some tough things, but I remember when Pastor Gomez announced it, and I'm sorry to take so much time on these stories, but they're just fun. They're funny. I remember I'm sitting there in the a little chapel area they had, a big old church and little chapel area, and all the Spanish people are there, and he's in the pulpit, and he's saying, listen, this is what's going on. This is what's transpiring. I'm going to have your new pastors here. Your Spanish pastor. And I'm there, and I had a couple people kind of looking at me too, a little funny, like, what's he doing here? He's never with us. He goes to the English church. Why is this guy here? I still remember those looks. And all of a sudden he says, Brother Rick Palma, please stand. And I stood up and said, hola. And the people, that's your new Spanish pastor. Within 30 seconds, a guy stood up and said, if he's going to be the Spanish pastor, I'm out of here. And Pastor Gomez says, bye-bye. And a guy got up and a guy left. And then another guy got up and a guy left. And we had our first service and it was fun. And then from there, some more people left. And we had another service and then some more people left. And it was tough. But God uniquely prepared me through some trials in my life. In fact, the church I took here, you know, Brother John Francis from First Baptist, I remember him calling me and saying, hey, there's a church down in South Florida, in Fort Pierce, Florida. I said, Fort Pierce, where is that? I said, Florida? I don't want to go to Florida. He says, well, I know you're looking for a church. And he didn't say anything about the Spanish. Nothing. Because I kind of, look, between you and I kind of got burned in the Spanish. And I didn't want anything to do with the Spanish. I just didn't. And I'm Spanish. And I didn't want anything to do with them. I just didn't. Forget you, Spanish people. Let someone else talk, preach you the gospel. And I'm telling you. And then he left this out. Pastor Blaylock, he said, a man is going to give you a call and tell you about the church. I said, okay, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for thinking of me and praying for me. Love you, preacher. And that was my wife's bus captain when she was a little bus girl from Chicago going to Hammond, Indiana when she was young, 7 years old. And he goes, at the end of the conversation, hey, listen, his name is Ugel. I said, Ugel? Like Hugo? No, Ugel. I said, okay, all right. So he calls me, hey, Pastor Palma, ¿cómo estás? I remember I was on the balcony at the college where we lived in this tiny little apartment because we had to get rid of the home because I had to finish Bible college. And we smacked our kids. We didn't smack our kids, right? Once in a while we smacked them, but we put them all into one room. Then we had the living room there. Then we had our bedroom over here. And we were living in this tiny little hotel apartment trying to get through Bible college. And he says, Pastor Palma, ¿cómo estás? Placer en conocerle. What? How you doing? good to talk to you. Yes, this is Rick Palma. Well, yeah, and he goes on and on and on. And then I ended a little apartment. My wife was sitting there, and I flung open the door. And before I can say anything, I mean, I kicked that door open, and I said, you know what? And she goes, Spanish church, isn't it? I said, yeah, how do you know that? She goes, I got my ways. I said, well, forget that. We were packed up. We sold everything. We were ready. We had the moving truck coming. We were heading to the Northeast. I was going to be the assistant pastor in my brother-in-law's church. I was going to work part-time at Starbucks. We were in this tiny little apartment. Everything was set up. I mean, I was doing anything to get to the Northeast. Spanish, no way, Jose. And she says, well, I mean, we got to go see it. And I said, well, all right, you know what? Look, we'll all go. We'll drive down. I mean, come on, who doesn't want to go to South Florida? We're going to turn this thing into to vacation. And then we'll just head right back up, and then we'll go to Northeast. This would be, praise God. And at that time, I'm just being honest. I'm being, a little bit carnal in my spirit at that time. And I'm saying, man, they can pay for our way down, pay for our way back. Gas is going to be paid. This is going to be a great vacation. Let's do this thing. My wife really wasn't thinking that. She's always been more spiritual than me, and she was praying and fasting. And I was just like, hey, Florida, throwing the shorts on and, just ready to go. David was standing there, and he's willing to go against this giant. And they tell him, no, you can't do this. I remember I told my dad, hey, Dad, I'm going to go to Bible college. Maybe at one time, someone in this auditorium, you had a thought, and you said, I'm going to do something for God. And someone said, you can't do that. Hey, I think this is a decision I need to make, and God's touched your heart. And maybe you had a husband or a wife that said, hey, don't even think about that. I remember this old preacher in his 60s told his wife, hey, I think God's calling me to the mission field. Successful. Doctor. And she didn't fight him on it. She says, where are we going? And they went. Successful missionaries for many years. Christian, sometimes people will go with you, sometimes they won't. Sometimes you got to go alone, go anyway. And I don't know what God has called you to do for Him, but because it's for Him, it's possible. The Bible says, if God be for us in Romans 8:31, who can be against us? And see, many will tell you how much is against you, but what they don't know is who is for you. And at the moment of your salvation, God started to uniquely mold you. He started to uniquely define you and make you different. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This was for his purpose, not ours. When I decided to go to Bible college, and I just want to be a little transparent tonight with you, I was making $30 an hour. And this is back in, 2005, I believe. making $30 an hour, moving heavy machinery, all the overtime I can get, the best benefits. I was in the local 301, never paid not even $10, full vision, dental, and whatever else. It was beautiful. I figured I'm going to just stay at Northwest Bible Baptist Church, work this job, have a great retirement, 401k, you name it. I was happy. And then God said, in fact, preacher, it was Doc Peters. He said, he was from a Cajun, and we went out soul winning, and he dropped me off at my car at the college. I wasn't in college yet. And he's scrambling through his car, and he's trying to find, this thing was a mess, complete mess. And he finds this tape. I know that's dating me a little bit. Even in 2005, that's really dating. I was kind of thinking at the time, like, okay, I got to find something to play this in. And he gave me this tape, and it was Terry Angel. And he says, boy, you need to listen to this. And I said, okay, thank you. And I got in my truck, and I put it in my truck, and I listened to that, and then I flipped it over. You know how, do you guys remember that with the tapes? You can just flip it over, and it'll be the same thing. Some of the cool tapes used to do that. And you just flip it over, and all day long, I'm listening to Pastor Terry Angel. All day long, 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 until I just could not fight it anymore. I said, God's calling me to the ministry. I went forward at church, and I bowed my head, and I made a public profession. So I went to my boss, and I said, hey, listen, I know I'm making a ton of money here, but I got to go. Why? Why are you quitting? What are you doing? I said, I got to go to Bible college. He says, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I said, I know. Trust me, I know. I'm not disagreeing with you. This is stupid. But God's calling me. Well, isn't there something we can do? Why don't you go to college at night? And we'll work you a little less. We'll only work you like 60 hours a week. Don't worry about it. And I said, well, sir, I just can't. It's during the day. If you can start me at like 1 or 2 o'clock, I promise I will be here. We can't do that. I said, I need to quit then. I need to give my 2-week notice. I remember going to my dad. My dad has always been a businessman, had one of the largest pallet companies in all the Chicagoland area and making tons of money. And he told me, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. No help. Nobody was like, hey, come on, you can do this. Everything was against me. Everything was against David. There's David showing up. Hey, I'll go. Hey, that's wonderful. Hey, let's get this guy prepared. Hey, let's give him what he needs. Hey, we got your back. No, Saul dismissed him and said, hey, you can't go. What are you thinking? There we were. Same situation. A little different. David's the king of Israel, and I was a truck driver from Chicago. But here I am, and I'm thinking, man, my parents are going to be so proud of me. I've lived a mess. I've made a mess of my life. Folks, I wouldn't even want to tell, you know, I want you to think well of me this evening. I made a mess of my life. I thought my parents were going to be ecstatic. That's the stupidest idea. Your kids are going to starve. You're going to lose your marriage. That's just dumb. What do you want from me, Dad? God's called me. I got to go. What do you mean he's called you? Like he called you on the phone? My dad is unsaved. He doesn't understand any of that. My mom said, the babies. What about the babies? My sister called one after another. Are you crazy? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Are you crazy? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Are you? Everybody was getting, my brother-in-laws were calling me. They never called me. They were calling me, Rick, how's it going? That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And then just one after another, everyone against me. And I knew God was for me. And I said, I don't know what I'm doing, how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to go forward because I know God wants me to go forward. And folks, we can't just sit idle when the enemy's there. We need to move. We need to do something. We need to go out soul winning, to run some buses. We need to get excited about Jesus Christ and who's called us, liberated us, and redeemed us. We need to do something for him. $30 an hour to nothing. The giant at that time, it wasn't the devil. It was the naysayers in my life. And God will take what transpired in our lives and make us stronger if we'll let Him. Think about this. One of the most important parts of the story. There was a battle to be fought. Both armies were present. Nobody was doing anything about the situation. Until somebody showed up uniquely qualified. You know, I wonder if I have kind of a so-so job, if I would have been prepared for Bible college. I wonder if I didn't have to leave something so amazing for what I thought was something less at the time. I wonder if I would have went through with it. I had to leave much to try to do something for God. David, he wasn't even a soldier. He didn't even have Saul, they put his raiment on him. You know the story. Coat of mail and all of that. It didn't even fit. He was such a little ruddy kid. I can't do it. I haven't proved these things. Well, what are you going to go against him? Well, I got this sling. Can you imagine Saul? Come on, folks. Let's just enter the story. A sling. You ever been there before? You don't have much to do anything with, but God's told you to do something. I'm going to do it anyway. I remember when we first started giving the missions preacher, that testimony you told me earlier, that's amazing about the missionaries. I remember we started giving $2 to missions or something like that. And I thought I was big stuff. I really did. I mean, it was amazing. And I thought to myself, man, I'm sending the gospel all over the world. And you might say, with $2, he might beg to differ. It's not what we have. It's what he will do with the little that we have. And I just had a few dollars to give at the time towards missions. But God has done much with it, I'm sure. Look, because of what God allowed to happen in his life, he was best prepared for the battle with the giant. No one else could have went against that giant the way he was. He was secure. He was confident because of the bear, because of the lion. And what a scary situation for David. But this was his proving grounds. This was God saying, listen, I gave you this. I gave you that. Now you got to move forward. You can do this because I've already given you this trial. I gave you this additional trial. Now you can move forward and do something for me. And there's no one else in this entire army that's going to be able to do this. David, I need you. And Christian, I want to tell you, God still needs you. He needs you to make those phone calls. He needs you to be kind. He needs you to have joy and patience and kindness in your heart and peace in your life. And a whole list in Galatians 5. He needs you to exercise all those wonderful things he gave you the day of salvation. Sometimes we're going to go through things because we must go through those situations. This is God preparing us for something in the future. Number three, I'll finish with this. It's getting late. And preacher, I can't see how late it is, but I'm so sorry if I'm over time. Half your church is going, you've done enough tonight, preacher. Number three, trust God even though his ways are different than ours. Can you imagine? Think about this, folks. And I know you've heard this type of preaching. I just want to help you, encourage you, and maybe bring something back into your mind and heart this evening. Can you imagine David? There he was. He done played with the lion. Killed him. He done played with the bear. He took care of him. And there he was. And this is why. This is what's so interesting about this story. The Bible says that he ran. He didn't delay. He didn't walk. He wasn't sure. I don't know if I should. Well, you know what? Okay, fine. I'll go. No, he wasn't unsure of anything. The Bible says he hastened. He went. He quickly got there. That was because of the preparation. That was because of that lion when he grabbed him. and he killed him. That was because of that bear when he wrestled with it and he killed it. He wasn't scared. Christian, I'm telling you, there's some things that we are going to have to go through. But if we trust God, I'm telling you, the past experiences in our life is preparation for what God's going to do in our life. And these people saw David, and they saw him hasten. They saw him go down to the brook and take out those smooth stones. And he saw him grab that sling, and he went and he trusted God. And this is as he reached the giant, and he looked up, and he kept looking up like this as a ruddy little teenager. And he looked at this giant, and he's thinking, how am I even supposed to do that when even the guard in front of him is larger than I am? Oh, the bear. I remember that lion, Lord. Let's do this. God, if you're with me, I know I can do this because you've done it before. Christian, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When David fought the bear and the lion, he didn't understand it. There he was in the fields, just kind of kicking back, listening to the Lord through the hills. And all of a sudden, huh? What is that? Lord, would you mind removing that from these hills? No, David, that's for you. I don't want that. Have you ever wrestled with God like that? Lord, this is what you're going to go through. No, it's okay, Lord. No, thank you. No, this is what I need you to go through. Yeah, no, it's all right, Lord, somebody else. I remember when he was calling me to the ministry, I kept thinking, I should have took that tape from Terry Angel and just threw it out the window is what I should have done. But I remember thinking, he can't be calling me. Come on. I have 4 kids. I have tattoos. I didn't grow up like this. I didn't grow up with the grace that my kids have in church from the nursery. Lord, I know that you're never wrong, but I think maybe this is starting a new trend for you because, Lord, you can't be calling me. Yeah, I'm calling you. But as he stood and he beheld that giant, the Philistine, he said, this is all making sense now, Lord. I see why. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, not him. David didn't say, I did this. He said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And that's when Saul said, go. Nice knowing you. May the Lord be with thee. Go ahead. And David hastened. Christian, I don't know how God spoke to you this evening. But if someone doesn't want to go with you, you go anyway. God has a purpose for your life. It doesn't matter your age, you're young, you're old. It doesn't mean you're in between somewhere. God has a purpose for your life. And if no one goes with you, you go alone. God wants to use you in an incredible way. And if you think back, and when he calls you to do something specific, you might even remember, oh, Lord, that's why. That's why I was a Spanish pastor over there at Northwest with all those grumpy Spanish people. Because you were going to send me to South Florida with these hurting, loving, kind Spanish people. Now, I didn't know why, God. I didn't understand it. But now I do. Christian, keep moving forward. I want to encourage you. You keep moving forward. You just keep listening to what God has for your life. You listen to your pastor and you listen to your Lord. And God's going to do something great with each and every single person in this room. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you delivered David not only out of the paw of the lion, but out of the paw of the bear. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. And Lord, there's a multitude represented here. More than likely, most people here have gone through trials and tribulations. They've gone through things, God, that have prepared them for the future. Lord, would you speak to our hearts this evening? Would you help us to realize we're not alone? Who can be against us if you are for us? Help us to trust you, Lord, fully. Help us to give ourselves to you in every way of our life. And one day, God, we'll see and we'll be able to say, oh, that's why. Lord, bless these people tonight.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.